Yes, Lord, we thank you, Father. We praise you, Father, for this new year that you've gotten us into. We thank you, Father, that it's going to be a great year for all of your people, all of the brothers and sisters that are knows you and are walking with you and are talking with you, Lord. And we thank you for this wonderful time that we're fixing to have with you, Lord. I ask, Father God, that you help us to not be distracted by whatever it is that might distract us. And I thank you, Father, that we have one mind, and that is you. And I praise you, and I thank you for that, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us to walk in the way that you would have us to walk. And that's just like Jesus, Lord. He said the things that he does, we're going to do. And not only that, we're going to do greater works. Because he's sitting up there at your right hand, and the Holy Spirit is with us, and we got the power of the world in our hand, in our temple. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for the great and wonderful time that's coming ahead. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. We're going to be led by your Spirit tonight to do the things that you want us to do. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for doing that with us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Taking down our enemies. Showing us things that we are capable of doing that we never thought possible. Teaching us more about faith and what it means to speak and to confess. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be no exception. That we're going to all be listening for that still small voice to lead us and guide us, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all the people that we've prayed for that are healed. Because we believe what your word says. Your word says, by his stripes, they were healed. That's past tense. They've already been healed. And we thank you for it, Lord. And also, Lord, those things that we have prayed for and believed that we had received them are already done. And we just give it all to you, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Okay, anybody else want to pray? Or got a prayer? Or wants prayed for? Okay, praise God. Everybody prayed up. That's good. Go ahead, Gina.
I want to pray for somebody I hadn't seen for a while. I didn't know if she'd end up retiring or not, but somebody who works up at the grocery store here locally that I go to, and she just turned 70, I think, here recently. And I just asked her if she was ready to retire or not. She says no, and she's just concerned about how much money, you know, she would get on her retirement if she was retired now with her pension and Social Security and all that stuff, and she doesn't think she can afford it. But she's been a smoker a lot of her life, and I talked to her about that. And she, you know, we talked about that before and stuff. And, you know, we had a good conversation about it, and I asked if I could send her a couple of videos about, you know, deliverance on smoking and some testimonies about it and stuff, and she said, yeah. So I just confirmed with her email and that kind of thing, and I told her I was praying for her, and she thanked me, and she's got some health issues. She didn't go into it, but, you know, she just attributes it to, you know, getting older, and she just really is not physically able to do her job like she used to and stuff, and she is getting older. But, Lord, I just looked up Bonnie to you. She's a dear, sweet lady, and she's always been a help to me, and we've been able to talk about Jesus a lot every time we come together, and, you know, she's trying to keep her eyes on you, Lord, and she's trying to do what she knows to do, and you've given her spiritual dreams, and I know that she prays, Lord, but she really needs really more, just more Jesus, and to say no to the flesh, and she's overcome a lot of things, and I lift her up, Father, that, you know, she'll watch those videos and she'll be able to hear and receive. The power of your Spirit will be there. She wants to give it up. She knows she should. She knows it's not good for her. And that's most of the battle right there, is knowing you don't want it anymore and being able to surrender. So I just pray that you bless and anoint all those videos I sent her from our website, from YouTube, Lord, and I think there's only three of them, but they're all about, you know, how God, you bring conviction to people and what your word says about it. And, you're going to do the work. You know, and just praise you, Father, that she is by faith delivered and repented of this addiction, and she doesn't want it. She knows that it is a spirit. However you work, Lord, and I put your blessing on her health, Father, and that she stay in your word, and that you bless her regarding telling her when it's time to retire. That she'll know it's time for her to retire, and that she'll know that you're going to be able to protect her and provide for her. And we know that there's a great change coming, reset, and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, she's living by faith what she has right now, what she sees. So I thank you, Lord, for doing the work in Bonnie, and blessing her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I want to give you update, semi-praise report, whatever, about I put on the chat, Signal chat, about our sewage line or whatever. backed up in our basement somewhat. Did it twice that we know of, and it went down. Merle called this plumbing company today, and they were supposed to come today sometime. They called today and said that they couldn't make it today, but they called back and said that they would come tomorrow between 8 and 9. But it hasn't backed up again, so I'm just believing that everything's really good with it, and you know, if they come tomorrow, it's just going to be a breeze, and it's really not going to be an issue at all because it's already fixed, you know. And I just kind of look at it that the fact that they didn't come today is just like, the Lord did it, we don't need them, but you know. But anyway, so at first Merle and I were hesitant to flush toilets and stuff and whatever. And I told him, I said, well, we're going to do that. You know, you kind of get gross after a while. But anyway, so I think part of the reason the other day when it did, it was Merle and I both got in the shower at the same time. And then plus after dinner, I was running water a lot and stuff and everything. But it's fixed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. No more issues with it.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, Teresa.
Well, that's what I was going to pray for, was righteousness. You know, because Julie was praying you know, for her friend that needs help.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was, you know, for me and my family, praying for righteousness. So, the first thing I'm going to pray is First Peter 2:24-25. Jesus, I thank Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, that you, your own self, bear our sins in your own body on the tree. So now we are dead to sins, and we are living to righteousness by your workmanship in us and conforming us to your image, because by your stripes you healed us. And we are no more sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And I thank you, Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father, you're bringing it to pass.
Thank you, Father. Be to God. I meant to ask you, Missy, how's your dad doing? We can't hear you when you're muted.
I'm sorry. He's fine. I know my mom said that next week there's a nurse coming in related to the health insurance, I guess, maybe to see what kind of extra help mom can get with dad, because sometimes it's overwhelming for her to be dealing with him day in and day out. But, you know, I told her, I said, just keep thanking the Lord for restoration in all things. So that's all I can do. And just,
well, we can probably believe, can't we?
Well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, as far as what I can say to my mom and dad.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
But, so I just keep imagining them restored and youthful again and out from among the apostate system. And so praise you, Lord. It's a coming for me and all our families. All God's blessings.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Anna.
I wanted to pray about something, but first I wanted to thank everybody for praying for Mallory to get here. We had a great time with the girls, and they're flying back in the morning. So thank you, Lord, for safe travel for them. No issues, you know, flying and anything. So thank you, Lord. But I wanted to pray, kind of a general prayer over the country, the world, everything, against this single mother epidemic that's going on. So Lord, we just lift up, it's basically a crisis, Lord, a family crisis, Lord, around the world. We just lift it up to you, Father. Lord, you are the fixer of the broken. And we just, come against, all the things that cause this, Lord, selfishness, rejection, abandonment, divorce, fornication, all the roots of it in Jesus' name, lust, perversion, just all these things are the root cause of it, Lord, and just people, just lovers of self and haters of God, Lord, we just come against all these spirits over this country, over the world, Lord, that are causing this epidemic, and Lord, I pray for restoration for all the elect, Lord. There's got to be tons and tons of broken families out there, Lord, that are your elect ultimately. And I just pray, Father, that you would begin to make marriage sacred again, Lord, that marriage would be sacred, that marriage would be had in honor among all, as the Bible says, that you would raise up godly men, that you would turn these women into godly women, that you would raise up godly men who are willing to take care of children that are not their own and be a father. Lord, that these children would have a father, that men who have abandoned their families, Lord, that they would repent and take care of their families, and that you begin a great work of restoration, Lord, in these times, and that there can be some semblance of wholeness and family again. Lord, we would love to see that with revival, Lord, that there be not just a revival of salvation and repentance, but a revival of family life and family structure and the sanctity of marriage and all these things, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for helping us establish that during this next great time coming ahead, Lord, that you would get their minds on you rather than themselves, like Anna was talking about. And we praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, that the single family, single mother, taking care of all the kids is gone, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for responsibility into the men of this world. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, anyone else? There's a lot of stuff like that going on, you know? Not only that, but there's other things that are just going crazy. I mean, you got all of this woke garbage, DEI, whatever you call it, garbage. And Lord, we just come against all of this perversion and abnormality that is pervasive in this United States culture right now. And Lord, we thank you that with this conservative leadership coming in, that there'll be some straightening going on, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, that your angels are out there right now changing the minds of the people to be responsible in their actions. And not only that, Lord, that you would turn them towards you, that you would grant repentance to the young people of this world and bring them into the kingdom, Father God, in the days ahead. because I know you're fixing to do it, because he's going to make it, going to have to. Yep. Yep. But lawlessness is prevalent everywhere. Thank you, Lord, for getting it all ready for the great revival in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I've never seen such lewdness, I guess is the word to use, in the world today, especially in the United States. It's just everywhere. It's on the TV. It's on everywhere. It's everywhere. And Lord, we've just come against that also. Thank you, Father, for fixing it. Thank you, Lord, that it's going to come a time when they're going to have to straighten up and search you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
I was just reading today about the leader of El Salvador. Yeah. His name is, I think, Bukele, is how it's pronounced.
Bubba.
Bubba?
Oh, that's what we're going to call him. I can't pronounce what she said, so we're going to call him Bubba. He's a good guy.
He was on an interview. Tucker Carlson interviewed him, I don't know, a month ago or something like that. But I just read an article that, and one of the questions that he answered, or basically he said that he is leading the country through guidance from God. And I was just reading some of the statistics. In 2015, now, this is El Salvador. El Salvador is about the size of the state of New Jersey or New Hampshire or something like that. It's not very big at all. In the year 2015, they had a homicide rate of over 6,500 people a year. And since he has taken office, the homicide rate has dropped to 114 people a year.
Praise God.
Now that's a major, major hit. But I just thought it was interesting that that he's bringing God into the picture, you know, and, in obedience to the Lord, putting in certain policies and changing, you know, putting up a fight against evil. And, you know, the statistics don't lie. So I just thought it was kind of interesting. So praise the Lord that that will be happening worldwide. So
did you? I think that was the same country that they rounded up all of the cartel and all the gangs, and they put them in prison with nothing but their boxer shorts on, and they make them walk in line. They did everything they do is controlled. Everything that they do is controlled. They have to do it that way, and that's one of the ways that he's cleaning that country up.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. So,
I think that was the MS-13 group, wasn't it? Yeah.
I lose track of all the numbers. I mean, they're exploding. You know, evil is exploding everywhere. Yeah. You know, so
it's been turned loose.
Yeah. But praise the Lord, he's raising up a standard. He's raising up a people that are spiritually militant, not physically violent, but spiritually militant in order to take that system down. So, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that is a model for the rest of those countries down there. A great model. What happens a lot of time, most of the time, is that the cartel members pay off the government officials to keep them out, and they make a lot of money doing it. And if you're not a Christian, you know, that's the way they go. But a Christian has ethics and moral ethics, and they're not going to take a bribe. They're just going to go with Jesus. Praise God for El Salvador. What's that guy's last name? Jones?
B-U-K-E-L-E.
Bukele.
Bukele. I okay. believe it's how, maybe okay. someone else knows how it's pronounced, but that's what it sounds like to me.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Father, for helping that country down, giving that country a good Christian leader. Thank you, Lord, for this country having a good Christian leader as well. In Jesus' name. Have y'all been listening to David? RGN was put on his desk this morning, or the other day. Yeah. Thank you. And, what's the boy's name? All right, we'll just see what happens. We're going to be led by Christ in this country before it's over with. It's going to be a great time. There's one thing about Trump that I like. It's hard to bribe a billionaire. You know what I'm saying? A multi-billionaire, I should say. It's hard to bribe one. He's not going to take it. He doesn't even take his salary as a president. He gives it to some good organization that he designates. I don't think there's anybody done that since the first of the country. And another thing they're going to do, well, that's a lot of stuff. Y'all don't know all that stuff. They're going to get rid of all of the nonsense government entities that have kept this country handshackled. All right, Lord, we thank you for cleaning it up in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for you're leading in every aspect of this government. We know that you're in charge. They ain't going to do nothing that you don't allow. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for making Canada a 51st state. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Mexico being a 52nd state. Thank you, Father. I see y'all laughing. Watch what happens. Go ahead, y'all.
You know, tell me, if it was reversed, would you want to be the 11th province of Canada?
Let's see. Y'all got Trudeau and we got Trump. No, let me think about it a minute. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. Cass Trudeau. That's what some of them call him.
Well, you know, I don't belong to either nation. I have a kingdom, so
that's
it's
right.
Written right there. That's the last chapter 6 of Matthew. I have to seek you first, the kingdom and righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. All things added unto you. You know, let him add it when he adds it.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to be here for, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We're here to bring the kingdom down here.
Yeah, the whole Bible's about that. They call them out of the nations.
Yeah. And the question I have is, are we doing it? Remember what Jesus said. Here's what Jesus said. I'm going to remind you. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. And greater things you're going to do. Well, are we even doing some of the things that Jesus did?
Are we forgetting to pray for that open door?
There you go.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that we are listening and praying with you every day. Place it in our hearts, Lord, to seek you. That's what Jesus did. That's what we ought to be doing. And I thank you, Father and Lord. I know that I've been distracted, and I ask for your forgiveness for that. But, Lord, I want to do what you want us to do. I want to be right next to you and listen to every word you say, because in the days ahead, we're going to need that. All of us are going to need that. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God.
Amen. You know, Michael, today I was reading, or maybe it was yesterday, I was reading the account of the damsel who danced for Herod. And he was very enamored. But you know what happened? He chose his enamorment more than a life of a prophet. Mm-hmm. And two of his disciples went and told Jesus. And Jesus went aside for a while saying, what are these people choosing? You know, they're choosing a person's enamorment for a damsel who dances more than a life of a prophet. That's Jesus spoke of being the greatest prophet of all, even though he didn't do it in miracles. But he made a great announcement. So I said that for the sense of how these items can, because they didn't have the blood of the Lamb, how these items can creep up on a person, even in government. So there are many forms of or flavors of this first fruit of the flesh, fornication, and that one went just a little too far. So I hope that helps people when they get tempted with anything. Praise and glory to God.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I was thinking, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before. I think it was yesterday. I was thinking how different it would be if we all just sought God like you were speaking about Matthew 6 there. And in that way, in that area, what would change around us? What kind of a change would we have? Yeah, Anna, you got it right there in the heart. And not only that, we'd have the heart of God. And not only that, we'd have the other great things. Remember when he said he had compassion on them and all were healed? That compassion is the love of Christ. That's the love of Christ in us. Praise God. I'm getting excited. I don't know about y'all because I know it's coming. Glory be to God. We ought to be jumping up and down and hollering, thank you, Jesus. Woo-hoo. Okay, anyone else? You got a song, Judy. And that would be lovely. Let me give you the thing here. Okay, you got it.
Anybody's sunshine been turned to rain? Is there anybody's blue sky been turned to gray? Is there anybody's good time turned out real bad? Is there anyone's happiness turned out sad? And I know I can't trust in the things that I see. And he's working on me. So let
Amen. Lord, let it rain all on me. Lord of God. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good one. I like that one. Yeah, Andrew.
I wonder if we can pray beyond anything we could sing or ask, that the Lord would let it rain upon the people to restore with the palm worm, the locust, the canker worm, and the caterpillar took from God's craft. Restore to them, Lord, as they have asked you, let it to rain down upon them, that they may be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by your word, Lord, that they would be corrected and led by you, Lord, so that they would have what needs to be from you, Father, in these last days. Restore, Father, the fruit of the Spirit. Restore, Father, these wonderful righteousnesses that you give to us on a daily basis. In Jesus' name I pray that we would fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold of that eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. I agree with you, Andrew. I agree. Does everybody agree with you? Glory to God. Let your glory come down. Or let it rain down on us. Praise God.
Amen.
Let that Shekinah glory just come down and fill us all, Lord. Let that Shekinah cloud just come down and bathe us in it. And Lord, that will give us a great head start. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, I was hesitating there because Ben was speaking in tongues. That's the first time I heard him. And I
praise God.
You know, in my prayer. Yeah, well, that's the first time I heard him. He was doing it, but I never heard him, and I was waiting for it.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
Wonderful gift. Wonderful gift. Number one, in my opinion. They said, they said that if you pray in tongues for 30 minutes, your immune system goes up 30%. So what would happen if you prayed for an hour and a half? Amen. Your immune system, it goes up. I mean, this is one of the most, a lot of people say it's the least gift. I consider it one of the best. Go ahead, Andrew.
They're all pretty great. I mean, you know, like you were just saying that in form of a question, and I was going, you're going to get lots more vocabulary in there too, different words and tongues and stuff. And it's just an amazing gift. And,
it is.
I tell you, if you're going to do it for long periods of time, you would even be getting an interpretation, and that you'll look forward to that day where you'll be singing in tongues even.
Amen.
And that's really cool. That happened to me.
Yeah.
Really neat.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier singing now.
Yeah, you know, the power of God, and the power of God is everything that He's given to us, is the power. And the way to access that power, I'm just going to throw that out there for a subject tonight. How do we access the power of God? Yeah, I do that anyway, you know that. I go all over the place, Judith. Okay, what's the key to accessing God's, well, I hate to say it like this, God's power. We don't look for God's power. What do we look for? Him. That's what we do. Okay, but I want to know, how do we get more of that? Go ahead, Judy.
I would say it would be to seek to be in his presence, you know, seeking his fellowship.
Okay. Amen. That's some of it, yeah. I'll just tell everybody what I'm thinking, what's on my mind, that way you get it. And it's the same thing that Judy's talking about, but what I like the way that I heard a guy say this. He said, the way to get more access is to lose yourself, to peel away the flesh, peel away everything that you want and go start doing what Jesus did. In other words, how shall we die? Getting rid of self. That you'll have more power when you do that. You'll have more faith. You'll have the whole at some point in time. And just like Andrew was talking about, when you pray in tongues, ask for the interpretation. Lord, give me some interpretation. Let me see what I'm praying. Let me hear what I'm praying. And let me, and something else, Andrew, I'm sure everybody experiences this. You can be praying one way, and you'll be praying in one kind of tongues. And then when you go into battle, you'll be praying another kind of tongues. I'm sure a lot of y'all do that, don't you? Your language will change, and you'll go into another language. Or if you're doing something else, you'll go into even another language all the same time. And it's like Andrew said, it's an awesome gift. And I think it's number one gift that the Lord gave us for a reason. That's to do it. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Ben. Whoever.
You were kind of asking, how can we access this power? Well, You would say by faith, but when you brought that up, it brought up those verses in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So those are the works of faith. I will give you rest, which is the faith. Take my yoke upon you, and you will learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. This meekness and this lowliness is the humility that we need. And it's kind of hard for me to explain it, but there's this whole sort of discussion that we could have on humility. I would recommend a book that Andrew Murray wrote called Absolute Surrender. It totally changes the perspective of walking in faith, because it's not just like a mindset. It's your whole, I don't even know how to explain it. I'd have to reread the book. But you'll start walking in faith when you're in the humility part of it all. When you're walking to your cross, basically, which is what you were talking about. That's the verse that always brings it up to me, is how do you walk in faith? You walk in humility. And that's the important thing. And that's what I think a lot of churches don't teach or preach even on, is their cross, because it's uncomfortable. And I get that, but, you know, it's only one way to heaven, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Amen. Well, that humility includes trust in the Lord and everything. And that's part of it. We die and let him do it. Yeah, I agree.
There's a really good verse in chapter 16 of the Psalms, where it's, I think it's the last verse, thou wilt show me thy path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, I think the Psalms is 900 years before Christ. How did they know about the right hand? And I think that's an asking verse of something that the Lord wants to give us anyway and does do for us. So it's a powerful verse.
Well, it is.
Yeah. For a happy Father. Wonderful. item. Thank you, Lord. Praise the God.
Amen. Anybody else?
I think Monroe has a prayer.
What do you say, Ben?
I think Monroe has a prayer request.
Oh, okay. What is it?
My son Josh is running a fever. Please agree with me for complete healing. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we lift up Josh to you. We break the power of this fever off of Josh right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, your word says, by his stripes, Josh is healed. We believe it. We thank you for it, Father, that Josh is healed. His fever is gone. He's cool as a cucumber right now in Jesus' name. We praise you. Thank you for it, Father. Go from him right now, fever, in Jesus' name. Body, you line up with the word of God. We thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. It's done. Y'all believe it, don't you? Everybody believes it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Monroe. He's healed. That fever is dropping even as we speak. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God, man. This is already a good discussion tonight. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have an unstable connection. It's stable as the rock of Jesus. Glory to God.
Michael?
Hey, Debbie.
This is Debbie. Hi. Maybe you could pray for me. Not stable. It keeps cutting out, and for several seconds someone's talking, and then it'll start talking real fast, like chipmunk. And
so, okay.
I'd appreciate prayer for this. It's been good for a while.
Okay. All right. In the name of Jesus right now, I command everybody that's on this outreach tonight has stable connections to the internet. They will not take us off in Jesus' name. We forbid it, and we thank you, Lord, that your angels are out there right now making sure that all of us, have stable connections to the internet while we're on any kind of outreach fellowship in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's done. Thank you, Amen. Lord. Amen. And we're not going to confess nothing but the good confession from this point on. Thank you, Lord, that we have a stable as a rock of Jesus, Lord of God. Amen. Amen. I know what has probably transpired over here is people are off work and they get in. It shouldn't be a problem. They should give you what they said they're going to give you, but you know how that goes. Anyway, thank you, Lord. We all got good, stable connections. Amen. That's right, Julie. We rebuke any infection or virus in Josh's body. That devil got to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Well, that's a neat little sign you got there, Jesse. Yep, Jesus is our Passover. Praise God for that. One that won't fail us either. It'll never fail you. Okay, has anybody else got something they want to talk about? Yeah, Anna.
I got just a question, since Andrew brought up singing in the spirit, and I was just wondering if anyone else had experienced this.
Yeah.
When I'm singing, like just singing, I don't have much of a voice, but when I'm singing in the spirit, I feel like I sound much better. And, I was just wondering if anyone else feels like that's the same way for them.
Yeah. I sing much better. I don't know if some of y'all don't believe that, but I do. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? Very uplifting. When you're singing to God. I remember when David, when his kids were growing up, he wanted some of them to learn how to play the piano. And I believe it was, I don't remember which one of them it was that started playing, but they just went in there. Oh, it's two of them that played it. And went in there and heard of somebody playing the piano and went in there. And I believe it was, who was it, Anna? Which one of them boys was it? Missy?
I think Missy knows. I think it was Jennifer and one of the boys.
Yeah, Jennifer and one of the boys.
Yeah, it was the two J's, Jennifer and Justin.
Was it Justin? Okay. Justin and Jennifer. Okay, Lord, we can pray that. We can pray that for your children. I've been praying for Obadiah. He's going to be a good drummer. He's got the rhythm. He does. He has good rhythm. Yeah, Anna. Don't tell him I said that, though.
I was just going to say, I prayed over him since he was in the womb. I always said, Lord, give, you know, I just always pray that all my children would have a musical gift. Michaela's a singing. Can you hear her?
Oh, man. Amen. Michaela, well, I'm going to pray for her to play the piano. Lord, we thank you for, I love the piano. We thank you, Lord, that Michaela is going to be a great piano player and a good singer and a great singer, too. Jesus, now, as is Shoshana also, thank you, Father. She's going to be a singer. Look at that. Hey, girl, look at them blue eyes. Hey, girl. Hey, LaKayla. Hey, LaKayla. Hey, girl. What you doing? What you doing? I see you. Glory to God. Look at them cheeks. My goodness. I bet they're a pound apiece. Go on with yourself, girl. She is so pretty. She's a good baby, too. All right. All right, anybody else? All right, what y'all want to talk about tonight? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, yesterday on the Wednesday night Bible study, I don't know if you guys were sharing verses, but there were so many same verses that David was saying that you were saying, Michael. And I was just amazed. They backed up each other so well yesterday there. But he picked up quite a few verses. I lost count on how many were the same ones from your hour and his hour, anyway.
Praise God. God's trying to tell us something.
Holy Ghost spooky.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I hadn't even listened to him yet. Thank you, Lord. Okay, no, it's not. Get off of the mic. I'll rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The internet connection thing saying I was unstable. That's a lying devil if I ever saw one. Amen. All right. Yeah, Anna.
Would you pray for Elisha, Michael? Because okay. He's got a ukulele. And when he feels like playing, you know, he doesn't know how to do any chords yet because his fingers are a little small. When he feels like playing, he can strum pretty good, but he's got this thing lately where he doesn't want to play, and he's like, when I make him play, he's like, strum, just like, well, his heart's not in it, and he's not interested.
Okay.
So, pray that he will have a love for it, would you please?
I will.
And be good, Father, and be God, gifted.
Yeah. Lord, we just lift up Elisha to you, Lord, and we thank you that any stringed instrument that he picks up, ukulele, own up, that he would be good at it and he would love it. And Father, we thank you for placing that in Elisha's heart. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, he will be a great stringed instrument, whatever it is, makes no difference, from a ukulele all the way up to a 12-string guitar. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus, or a harp, even. And we thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, he's going to have natural abilities in stringed instruments in Jesus' name, and he's going to love it. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Elisha. And thank you, Lord, that the angels are out there talking to him now and putting that, placing that in his heart to do that in Jesus' name. And the next time that Anna asks him to play or something, that he'll run to go get that ukulele and come back and just wail out a good song and play a good song on that ukulele in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. And we're going to give you all the glory for that, too, because we know it. What he's doing now, what he's fixing to do, is going to be two entirely different things. And we praise you for it, Father. Y'all believe that? Glory be to God. It's done. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my, 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 my. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
Morning, everybody. Bless 2025 for you all. I just want to share something very good this morning, what the Lord did for me. I'm usually, when I'm talking about my time in the mornings now. And when it's usually you starting here, my 3 o'clock in the morning. But why I want to tell you this is, last night I go to bed about 10 o'clock, and the Lord wake me up about 12 o'clock. So I just thought to myself, that's 3 hours till the fellowship. But you, Lord, usually gave me about 1 to 2 hours when spending time with him and things like that. So this morning he's waked me up at 12 o'clock. So I asked him, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be in a haste and spending time. I'm going to go to bed and just please wake me up for my fellowship with my family. And he woke me up about 3:20 this morning. So just give big thanks to the Lord for always hear us, always help us, and always good. Thank you, Father. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Michael.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Excuse me. The Lord kind of took me through an experience here last few weeks. And I kind of had to track down I was having a discussion basically, and the discussion was related to some of the religious leaders through our history. Or Christians of our history that have stumbled and fallen away from the Lord. And obviously you can't, you have to take everything you read relative to history, with a grain of salt. You know, because there's, a lot of, well, obviously the accuser is, full force bent on tearing anything down, of Christianity and destroying men's lives and whatever. So, But there have been situations where, you know, people have, you know, religious leaders have brought things into the, you know, that have been, have brought things into the forefront, shall we say, or into the Christian experience, and have stumbled and fallen away, or entered into some sort of failure at some point in their life. And the scripture was brought up to me of Ezekiel, the scriptures in Ezekiel. They're in Ezekiel 3:20 is one of them. And there's another one in Ezekiel 18 and another one in Ezekiel 33 that basically all the same, say the same thing. But, and my, as I was looking to answer the questions related to these men and the examples that I was given, etc. I started reading this Ezekiel 3:20, and something kind of interesting popped out at me at that time. And so I wanted to go ahead and read it because it kind of sent me down another path, and I just wanted to you know, touch on it. But basically, in Ezekiel 3:20, it says, again, matter of fact, let me just click on it and go there. And this was this is a scripture in a section that that God was talking to Ezekiel. Said basically, I've made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. This is in verse 17. And then he says, when I say to the wicked that shall die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn against the wicked. And I'm not going to read through those. You can read those if you want. But basically, is, you know, if I give you the word about the wicked to warn them, and if you don't warn him, his blood is on your hands, etc. But in verse 20, he says, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. And I know this was, you know, the Lord was speaking this to Ezekiel, obviously, that, you know, when the Lord tells you to say something, warn a person, say what the Lord gives you and fulfill your responsibility, etc., to a righteous man or to the wicked. But as I got to looking at this, I believe in all three of those verses in, here in chapter 3 and the one in 18 and the one in 33, I think it all says the same thing, is that the righteous deeds, which this one that had turned away from his righteousness, shall not be remembered. And this is one of those verses that, unless, you know, when I initially heard it, read it. For some reason, the thought in my mind was, well, if this righteous man turned away from righteousness, then he wasn't really saved. Or he wasn't really, you know, he was deceived or whatever. Or he wasn't really believing in the word. He wasn't really believing in righteousness, etc. And therefore, his, you know, his righteous deeds or his so-called righteous deeds will be forgotten and pushed off the side. They won't even be considered. Won't be remembered by the Lord. And it's kind of one of those things. I was thinking one way about it, maybe a preconceived thought or thought process about that. But as I was reading that in this conversation, it dawned on me, and I had to stop and read it again to understand exactly what he was saying. And he says, again, he says, when a righteous man, that doesn't say an unrighteous man or a man who thought he was righteous. It says, when a righteous man doth turn away from his righteousness, it doesn't say that he turns away from what everybody thought was righteous, but really wasn't righteous. It was unrighteousness. No, it says, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou, and again, I probably should have read the verse before that, but he's talking to Ezekiel to warn this righteous man. He says, because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteous deeds, which he hath done. In other words, those deeds compelled and produced from a heart of righteousness and following the Lord, those righteous deeds that he had done in the past will not be remembered, but his blood will I require at his hand. And as I was pondering that and thinking about that, it doesn't say that those righteous deeds were really cloaked unrighteousness. It says that those righteous deeds will not be remembered. And I'm thinking back at the example of King David when he committed the sin with Bathsheba and had his her husband murdered, and God sent Nathan the prophet to him and called him on the carpet, brought it to his attention, brought this evil to his, the forefront. And the lesson there was that David repented immediately. He repented. that's Psalm 51, I believe, was a, and the Chronicles or the Kings, whatever that story was in, was put in the Bible as a representation and a confession of what he had done. He didn't try to, you know, paint over the thing, although I don't know who wrote the Chronicles or whatever, but that incident remained in the Bible for all to read throughout history, and King David repented. And then Nathan said, that there was a certain punishment or retribution or whatever you want to call it, that was that God, placed on David, gave David for that, because David gave the enemies of God, a chance to blaspheme his name. And David did right in that confession and making it right with God, obviously. But the point was that evil deed, and if it would have been unconfessed but found out, it would have given great cause for the enemies of God to blaspheme God's name because of that man of righteousness turning and committing iniquity. And therefore that, if David wouldn't have confessed that sin, and it would have been found out, and people would have known, whatever good deeds that David had done before in slaying Goliath and killing the thousands and becoming a magnificent king, all of those things would have been washed away, and they wouldn't have been remembered, because the only thing that they would remember is that evil deed that righteous man committed. And so the, in realizing, in reading this and thinking about this, and the tendency to that, when told, whether truth or not, when told something about a religious leader, a Christian leader, or whatever, when something is told, there is a tendency if one, and this I believe is kind of the heart of faction, if one believes that or latches onto that and believes that, then that one is unable to consider and learn and recognize the righteousness and the righteous deeds before that one fell. And I'm speaking of there's a few leaders in our 150 years ago done magnificent things and brought some very important and significant breakthroughs in Christian history. But later on in their life, they stumbled and were led away and went down a different path. Some to their destruction. And so, and again, you can't believe you know, you pull something up on Wikipedia and everything like that, guaranteed you're going to, there may be 10% element of truth in some of that stuff and whatever. You can't believe, especially somebody that's, you know, been dead for 150 years. You can't, you just can't believe everything you read or very little of what you read. But that being this, it said, the point being is the turning away of that individual, even though there's a tendency to write that person's whole life off and throw them in the dustbin of history, you have to, I believe you have to, recognize that there is that tendency to discount that life and look past that to the truths that that person brought into the Christian, you know, panoramic. And, so as I was pondering this, this tendency, it kind of, I was thinking back to, some other things that the Lord had shown me. And it was based in the book of Ezekiel as well. It was the chapter or the story when Ezekiel, God took Ezekiel out to the, or gave him a vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones. And seeing how that was a picture of history that has taken place, Christian history, at least what I was seeing is that history from since Christ, the crucifixion and advent of Christ. And what I saw is that it, well, it might be, I saw that in the past 2,000 years, the Lord has brought about or brought up or raised up some specific truths in our history, which had been, in other words, you know, the first part of the first part when the Lord, after the Lord's death, there was an explosion of Christianity, so to speak, in the world, and the truth went out throughout all the world in a sort of persecution, and I saw that as seeds going out into the uttermost parts of the earth. And then we went through a time when those seeds went in the ground and they died. And we went through the Dark Ages. And then the Lord started raising these stones back up out of the ground. And there was, you know, I would miss many, many of them, just trying to recollect, all of them, but a few of them are those major stones that God brought back up into reality, was when Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses to the wall, to the church door and brought in the truth of salvation by faith alone. And then there's many other truths that were, now Martin Luther brought this truth into reality, and it scattered and spread and throughout all of Christendom at that time. But for the most part, what they started, the power and the presentation and the presence of God in those, and the amount of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit, which made that transition and made that breakthrough, for the most part, deteriorated, diluted, dissolved, and died. I won't say, you can't say that it died and went out of existence, but the very power and presence which took to bring it into existence died, and now you have just the structure of what's left. And there's many other things. John Wesley brought things into, as far as the holiness movement, and brought things in. If you were to go to a Wesleyan church today, for the most part, you probably wouldn't see much of a resemblance of the truths that John Wesley brought into the forefront. They've more or less died, and at least the power of those truths, which brought those truths out into the forefront, that power has gone away and died, and they have become just a more or less lifeless structure out there. So, and this has happened, I believe, all through history. And so when in Ezekiel, when the dead bones, when God spoke to Ezekiel, who was the man child of his day, and told him to prophesy over those dead bones. And those dead bones are those dead structures of the foundations of Christianity, the structures that were there. God commanded Ezekiel, or that man-child, to breathe out onto them and command them to live. And those dead bones started raising and created and resulted in a army of soldiers and of righteousness. And I believe that that is what God is preparing us to do in these last days, in raising up this last generation. And I was, this morning I got up and I was thinking, number one, the devil, I think I was reiterating to myself, God's sovereignty. The devil is on God's leash and was created for a purpose of sifting the sons of God as a tool in the hands of a master craftsman who is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus has raised up many foundations in the past 2,000 years to only pass away with the death of the founders. These truths did not suffer failure in and of themselves, but were born and died before their time. Like new wine being poured into old wineskins, they matured and soon burst the container in which they were birthed, and soon dissipated back into the earth. They were born in the context, and I believe this is kind of the crux of the matter, that they were born in the context and brought back into the forefront of Christian thought. But they were born in the context of the Nicolaitan error in these last few hundred years and were joined by many spirits of faction, Jezebel, witchcraft, etc., and many others, bring them into failure or death. And the thought, as I was pondering it, in the hands of the lesser gods, this has been destructive. In other words, in their generations, we have seen them, they have, we've witnessed them eroding, deteriorating, and dying. But in the hands of Jesus, the will of our Father was for a purpose of distributing dead bones into Ezekiel's field of end time history, when the man child of this last day will speak forth and will raise forth these truths as a restorer of the ways of God. And the scripture came, I just wanted to read that scripture again. He said unto me, this is in Ezekiel 37:4, prophesy over these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you. I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. In Isaiah 58:11, it says, the Lord will guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in dry places and make strong thy bones, and thou shalt be like water, a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose water fail not. And they shall be of thee, they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorers of the path to dwell in. And then just to finish up, what I was thinking is that in Daniel 2:34, when Daniel interpreted the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about the seven kingdoms, he said, thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were iron and clay, and break them in pieces. Then was the iron and clay, the brass and the silver, the gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that no place was found for them. The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So I was just remembering, I guess I was just trying to get a bigger picture of these so-called failures that certain people have fallen in our history, and put it into God's perspective and in his eyes, and then go back to the encouragement and the admonition to follow the Lord, trust in his word, do not accept criticism or accusations against anyone, whether they be alive or whether they be dead. But look, keep our eye on the truth, on the truths that were revealed, and trust the Lord to lead us through the minefield that is laid out ahead of us. And thank him. So anyway, I didn't want to get involved in the thing, but I just wanted to share that. It kind of hit me these last few weeks. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, Andrew. Yeah, Benjamin.
I just have a brief comment on that. If you look at the last the revivals of those people, when you see how Germany used to translate the Bible into German, and they also did translate the Bible into English, and they smuggled the English Bible from Germany into England. And it was not a really good time for the people who were caught with them. But then again, you know, to have their language, to have some form of word in their own language was a great uplifting for the people, and that's what happened, because the Bible was now in a word they can understand. Well, you see, the opposite principalities really didn't like that. So several hundred years later, these two nations of England and Germany were in a great war. So we have to realize that they wanted that First World War to be the war to end it all wars, but, you know, maybe there's some understanding there that people should have, that because this translated Bible came out of a country, into that country, there were the principalities who didn't really like that and maybe tried to get them back or something. That's what I was kind of thinking when Pat mentioned that. So the best thing would be to do is to get back to that Bible in the both languages, the best translation you can find. So, because there's so many different translations in English, it's mind-boggling. I think there's like 200, but we should have a really close to the Greek as we can get, as we were talking, with the numerics and stuff. So, And of course, the second place I think would be the American Standard Version, as was said by the one who translated the Bible into the numerics, that it was heads and tails above the rest. But that pattern is in many versions where it just, because someone put their own word in it. So the Lord has to do something really big here. But then again, you know, is it the ink on the page? Is it what's engraved in stone? We need to have it written upon our hearts by the Spirit of God. And that's what really, really will bring it in there. And we'll be that epistle known and read of all men. And that's what we want too. We want the Lord to do this through us by his grace. And so there's some pretty good points there as to how this, you know, at the same time they were coming up with these reformations, the same time was when they were going out and they were fighting with each other, these countries in Europe, especially the Westerners who were colonizing the whole earth. You know, the Dutch and the English had their wars over chapter 18 of Revelation. Anyway, there are items there that, you know, you've got to be a good with commerce in this world with other nations and with the Word of God. You know, as Jesus was talking to the rich merchant. You know, there's more to that that might have to do with the merchandise in chapter 18 of Revelation. So there's a root of all evil for getting that kind of game in the wrong way. And they were empire building, and there were people who were good and did good things, and then there were people who were absent-minded, and so we prayed about these things, and we prayed about these things to be brought down. You know, and really, the grief of some of these people are just amazing on how they want their self-life fed and their flesh fed from all these things that please the flesh and only the flesh and that's why God judges everything. We can't do it. We should not do it. We're sent here to save people, just like it says in 3:17, not 3:16 and 17. And if you examine the 20th verse there, the light did come, but they loved the darkness, and they wouldn't want themselves to be reproved at that time. So we have communion with the light. We have fellowship with righteousness. We have concord with Christ. We have portion with believer, and we have agreement with the sanctuary. So I couldn't say what sometimes happens to people over time. Maybe they get just a little too relaxed. Maybe they got too many mantras or sayings in the church. So, but the restoration will come. As you brought up that 37 of Ezekiel, and that's the wonderful thing. Jeez, what you spoke would restore a person. But you gotta go a little easier than that, I think. Because there has to be some people who have no baseline at all, no foundation at all, you know? And it has to be addressed with the Word. Because Jesus is the name called the Word of God. And every word spoken, every word read, every word heard, and every word that pops into your head. So there's a spirit behind it, a glory behind it too, whether it be light or darkness, as it says in Isaiah 5:20. Woe to them that call the good evil and the evil good, and the light darkness and the darkness light, and the sweet bitter and the bitter sweet. So there's a few woes there that you got to slow down that beast in chapter 5 of Isaiah. Anyway, the restoration with the latter rain and the song and the music that we listened to today and we prayed about, the Lord is going to do. We've read the end of the book. We know what happens. And because you do know, the Lord has to open us a door to go forth, to do these things, so that the prophet can speak forth. Ezekiel has to speak this forth. That was a warning to Ezekiel. It's the one in that ministry that has to do that more than just the witness, I find. You see, it's the apostles, prophets, teachers, preachers, and evangelists, but there's a witness too. There's more than fivefold ministry. There has to be at least six, even seven for the up-and-coming guy. Because he's foreordained to be called. So, if a person's called and he has no defense, no authoritative verse where he can defend himself, like casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. You tell that to a non-believer, he'll say that's impossible. But if you give him a verse that he has to, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You're asking for things there that you would eventually want to even brag that the Father is giving them to you, as one would expect a father to be kind and loving to the Son to attain these items of his word and spirit and life. Praise and glory to God. And this is all part of the latter rain, restoration of the fruit, to get those bugs that destroyed it all. Praise and glory to God. We've been counseled very well, but what do we do with the counsel that we have? But to look at the word again and see what the Lord wants to show you. Look at the counsel, like the 18th chapter there. It's mentioning commerce, trading, and these items that we know that's going to happen in the future is a future event. We know that this 12th chapter of Revelation is going to happen, and the 13th and the 14th. We know what's there. So how to relay that to the other person? We need to wait on the Lord to bring that opening, that carefulness, humility, that righteousness, that praise and worship that people should have for the Lord. The restoration, the revival, the last revival, which is a copy of the revival that has happened in the Gospels and in the Book of Acts. So, I'm just making a comment here. I'm not instructing anyone here. I'm not by any means going to go that way. I'm just throwing out ideas, and glory to God for them. Amen.
Benjamin, did you have something you wanted to add? Okay. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was thinking in terms of, I'm trying to put it in context, that was when I mentioned that this condition or this situation on the long-term events of these truths coming into the forefront and then dissipating out and then coming back out in the last days. And the one of the reasons that these truths dissipated was that they came into being in the environment, Nicolaitan error. The Nicolaitan error, of course, is the absolute opposite of the fivefold ministry and the whole creation of the body and the temple that God is in the process of building right now and creating right now. And just the recognition that we all, as members of the body, need to, in my opinion, need to bear in mind is that there is this tendency, thinking back of the example of Samuel anointing through God rejecting King Saul and then going through an anointing King David. But that whole thing started by the fact that the people rejected God's way of governing. They wanted a king. They wanted to place one man that was responsible to take care of the whole thing and do this and whatever. And that tendency, they wanted that king because there's a tendency to want someone to take responsibility. How do I say this? For me, so that I don't have to carry all the weight or whatever. When the body concept is that God holds us all as individuals responsible to submit and obey him in the performance of what he has shown us and given us as individuals for the ministering into the body. You know, it's Ephesians, 6 or 5 or whatever, where that's all described, etc., and in Corinthians. So I believe that the Lord is, in fact, going to raise these truths back up in these end days in the picture of Ezekiel commanding these dead bones to raise, but they will come back into reality in the midst of the body and not in the midst of the Nicolaitan era, which, you know, some of the results of, you know, that Nicolaitan error concept is it tends to put the leaders, it tends to isolate the leaders, and set them kind of on a pedestal type of thing. I've had this happen a few times in my life when I went to I studied under a particular individual in the past. I'm not going to name his name, etc., but he was in a ministry and whatever. I learned a tremendous lot, and God just blessed my life through the things that I learned, and God just opened up my eyes and really blessed my relationship with him. Not the leader, but with the Lord. Until I went through a situation where I needed to have something which was outside the context of this ministry. I needed to deal with a demonic presence in somebody. And I, coming from my, you know, Baptist background or whatever, I wasn't aware of casting out of demons and, you know, how to deal and relate with that whole process. So through a process of seeking and searching, I was able to actually contact this individual's phone. And I reached out because I was in desperate straits, and I reached out to him, and this particular individual, he was in a meeting with his board of directors or whatever they were, the leadership team. And one of the leaders or the partners or whatever answered the phone, and I explained my condition, you know, that I had, you know, a situation where a demonic situation that I had to deal with. And he said, well, give me just a minute. And he went and talked to this leader, And he came back and said, well, you know, I can't remember what he said, but he said, we're not handling that sort of thing in the ministry now, but you need to call somebody that's more, you know, set up for handling that type of thing, that demonic, you know, interference, etc. And at that time, when he said that, it was like I just completely shut down, because I realized that this, for whatever reason, this person, as tremendously talented and as graced as I was in being in that person's, under that person's umbrella, so to speak, they were still not locked onto the truth in their aspect. I mean, looking back, I couldn't believe that a Christian, you know, wouldn't be dealing with that, you know, decide that's not part of their ministry. But anyway, that being the said, it was later on in that ministry that person was accused of such and such or whatever, inappropriate behavior, et cetera, and ended, and was booted out of his ministry. Now, and I believe that was because of the Nicolaitan error of isolating that person and not bringing forth, you know, not having the ability or people to speak into his life, etc. So that was kind of what I was trying to bring out in what I was, one aspect of what I was saying there.
Are we as followers of Jesus supposed to specialize in a certain type of no, you're right. We're supposed to act like Jesus, aren't we? That's right. We're supposed to minister like Jesus did. He had compassion. I remember, if you got just a second, I remember talking with Curry Blake, and Curry said this. He said, "I wanted to have a ministry where anybody could call me, and I could help them. Because when my first little girl died, I couldn't get a hold of anyone that would help me pray for her. They were not available, or that was not their ministry, or whatever. And his little girl died." If you understand the importance of knowing who you are in Christ, and when somebody calls screaming and hollering about somebody dying or their little baby is whatever, that you want to be able to help them. And the way to do that, as we all know, is to get closer to the Lord and to understand, read, and study the Bible, as Andrew was talking about, and understand your authority in Christ. And it's not you that's doing it. It's Christ doing it through you. That's who it is. And we got to get this mindset off of us that a lot of people have, like as Pat just got through talking about, that we can help anybody, anytime, anywhere. Because it ain't us. It's Jesus that's doing it. We trust him to fulfill what he said he would do. And that's how you get things done. And to be able to help other people. You just believe God. Andrew, did you have something you wanted to share?
Well, the concept of that Nicolaitan error, which is in the Ephesians church in chapter 2, but I never really thought that the last chapter, don't add or take away from this word. I never really thought about that word that's there in that says the Nicolaitan error. So you don't want to add or take away from what that error is. Because, you know, that's the very next generation. You know? And I just went, wow, you know, like, never thought to even include those things as something, because you tend to rest on the positive stuff, you know, and so that's a real big eye opener, and I thank you for sharing that. Thank you for all the sharing that just transpired. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. I see you wait. Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't tell. Lord, we thank you that every one of us are more than a conqueror. And we take dominion and we rule and we reign in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you are our Heavenly Father and Jesus is our Lord. We are a product of His love. Thank you, Father, that we do have joy, we have peace, we have long suffering. We have goodness, we have gentleness, we have meekness, we have temperance, and we all have faith to conquer the enemy. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens every one of us. And right now we are strengthened in all the power and might of the Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we're given authority over all the works of the enemy. And we take it and we exert that authority right now in the name of Jesus and command you by the power and the blood of Jesus to leave our presence. And that when we command you, you have to obey. This is the word of God, and the word of God never fails us. And we thank you, Father, that we receive the word and the blood that covers us in Jesus' name. I'm going to just remove all works of heaviness on anybody in here. Oppressive spirits, go in Jesus' name. Depressive spirits, go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we speak peace in their hearts. We speak joy in their hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Because we do rule and reign in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise you, Father, for what you're doing in each and every one of us. And I thank you, Lord, and we all love you. And we thank you, Lord, that Josh is healed, delivered, and set free from any kind of infirmity in Jesus' name. That all the symptoms are gone and he has recovered everything that the enemy has tried to steal from him. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, that Terry McGinnis is healed too. He is completely healed and Will is healed. And anybody else that needs healing, Lord, we speak healing in their bodies. Everybody here speaks healing into their bodies right now in Jesus' name. Mrs. Dad, Lynn, be healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that he is healed. And we praise you, Father, he will speak a full sentence and say exactly what he needs to say, and everybody will understand him from this point on. In Jesus' name, we declare and decree healing in him, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that Terry is also going to overcome this trial that he's in with his ex-wife. And we praise you, Father, that he is completely delivered of any more court orders in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you're settling up for everybody here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Father, that Jeanette is also healed. I thank you, Lord, for placing strength in her body. I thank you, Lord, for placing air in her lungs. And I thank you, Father, that this spirit of infirmity has gone from her, and that you have restored all that the enemy has tried to steal from her in the name of Jesus, Father. And I thank you, Father, for complete DNA restoration in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Let's all go to the marriage feast. Glory to God. We are bidden to come. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Father, we just thank you for another good night. We thank you for all of the things that we that were said tonight, and let it go right to our spirit, Lord. Yeah, hungry for righteousness. That was right. Yes, Lord, we are hungry. We're striving, and we're not only asking, we're believing. And we are all sanctified, and we're all righteous, and we're all at the right hand of Jesus right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We thank you, Lord, for blessing Megan down in Texas. That there's not going to be any storms coming down there. She's not going to get no snow either unless she wants it. And we thank you, Father, that it's going to be warm down there. And it's going to be warm here. We just push all that cold air back up there to where it belongs in the north. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Megan. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Debbie. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Missy. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Pat, Teresa, Michael, Julie, Andrew, Josie, Joe, Monroe, and Barbara. All of us, Lord, we thank you for blessing us tonight with a good night's sleep or a good day of fellowship with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Ben. I'm sorry, and Ben. There you are, Ben. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I was about to forget, but you're one picture, you know. Okay, praise God. Yep, bless everybody in the name of Jesus. All right, y'all be blessed, yeah. I enjoyed tonight. I got a lot of out of this. Okay, wait a minute. Don't do that one.